Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 198, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. O God, and be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. 1, 6, and 7 of 198. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John, John chapter 16. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. And they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy in that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, and that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, and that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God, thou who wast able to enter in and to the innermost thought and recesses of the heart of thy disciples, oh, thou hadst many things to say to them, but they could not bear them then, and so thou didst withhold it until that future time. And thou knowest thy church also this day, that may be in the midst of us. Lord, that thou may so lead and so guide by thy Spirit, as thou hast even from the beginning. And there are to them so many things, and that they cannot understand. As we have read out of thy word, and we cannot tell what he saith. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, and I go unto the Father. Lord, thou knowest all the riddles. Thou knowest the mysteries that for themselves are unknown, and that they need to be solved by thee, and we do not know. Lord, could it please thee to lead us also in this afternoon hour, that we may be a little instrument in thy hand to speak by the power of thy Holy Spirit the things that are known to thee, that are necessary for thy flock as they travel through this world unto thee. Lord, remember us then when we are gathered together round thy holy word. For it was when thy disciples thought then that they understood, that still they did not know. Then they needed to be led also in the experience of their life, step by step. And so it is with each and every one of thy people. Then it is not only the knowledge of the understanding, but it is the knowledge of the experience of the heart and of the life. And it will go so against what we desire. But oh, could it please thee to watch over, keep, and protect, even as thou didst unto thy church, and when thou didst say, the hour is coming, yea, now is, when ye shall leave me alone, and then ye shall be scattered. But we can read it in God's word, how thou didst care for them even in that solemn hour, that if ye seek me, let these go their way, so the enemy was not able to touch them. And Lord, thou knowest what he seeks to devour, also in the days in which we live. But wilt thou keep him away? And could it please thee to comfort thine own through all the trials and tribulations wherein Satan would undermine thy word and truth, and the work that thou hast begun, which by thy grace shall surely be done? But from the side of thy people, then they show off in fear for the outcome. Lord, that thou may lead and guide them also in this afternoon hour, that they may be fed by thee, who art sufficient to open the windows of heaven. Remember each and every one of us, especially when the matters are unknown to us, and when we go over this world in that state in which we have been born. Oh Lord, we need to be converted, and we need to be born again. And that is not the work of man. Then we are taught to seek thee, but there is no man that will seek thee except thou wilt draw him. And that was the knowledge and the experience of thy bride. But it must become the experience of each and every one of us personally. Oh, that thou may come then by thy Spirit's power and draw us that we might run after thee, and turn us then we shall be turned, save us and we shall be saved. And that thou may put away the works of darkness, and that seek to devour and to destroy, and that seek also to walk in those silver slippers, that to come so quietly, to undermine that truth, and to sow all kinds of doubts and errors. Lord, that thou may thyself look upon us, and work with might and power to put away the works of darkness from among us. Look upon all the needs and the cares that are experienced in our midst, and by those who are old, by those who are weak, and by those who are sick, and by those who have difficulties of the mind or of the body, and where there is trouble in the life, and where there are sorrows in the families, and where there are troubles, Lord, that thou may thyself be near and cause all these ways wherein we must travel to bring to thy footstool, and that we may know that thou art the living God, and that we may experience it for ourselves and for the good and welfare of our poor souls. Remember us as a consistory in the labors of our hands, and for the sake of the flock over which thou hast made us overseers. Oh, make us faithful, and give us strength and health and diligence and wisdom and much grace to know how to go forward day by day. Bless and sanctify our labors, and forgive all of our many sins. Increase the number of thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Also in the midst of us as a denomination, remember vacant congregations. And could it please thee to hear also their cry, and that they may behold the face of their teacher once again. Look on him that labors in our sister congregations in this area in this day. Wilt thou give him a good day in thy house with thy favor and with thy blessing? Look on our nations, all that rule and reign over us. Wilt thou cause them to bow their knees before thee and bring thy word upon the places of public lawmakers, and upon the judgment seats in our lands? Turn us again, O Lord, and look on all those who suffer the needs in this world, where there is famine, and where there is warfare, where Satan goes about to destroy soul and body together. Lord, deliver as thou alone art able, and that thou may bless the mission fields and all that labor in those places. Do look upon all that are in the prisons, the innocent and the guilty together, and wilt thou look upon all that have needs that are not known unto us. O supply and grant thou that many may be brought with weeping and with supplications, that the crosses and the trials and tribulations in this life may never testify against us, but may be sanctified for our souls. Lord, do look upon us, our youth, our children. Wilt thou look on them also in this afternoon hour? Oh, give us together a good hour in thy favor before thy countenance, that feelingly and believingly thy presence may be experienced to be among us, to the conversion of sinners, to the comfort of thy children, to all of our instruction, and to the glory of thy great and holy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 444, stanzas 8 and 9. High in the heavens has Jehovah founded his lofty throne, by cherubim surrounded, and lo, his kingdom ruleth over all. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 444, stanzas 8 and 9. Congregation, there is one church from the beginning of the world, even unto the end of the world. There is one salvation. There is one faith. And that which was necessary long ago, the same is necessary also today. And that which the Lord has given to us today is also that which the Lord has given in His own way to the church of the Old Testament. We can read how that every year Israel has commemorated the great day of atonement. And on that day, then the high priest had to take had to kill a bullock and a ram. And what had he to do with this? He had to kill it. And in the second place, he had to take that blood and to bring it into the Holy of Holies. And now we say it is the same faith that was necessary for them as is necessary for us. And it is the same object of faith, which was a comfort to that people in those days, as it is today. And so we see that beautiful picture that the Lord has given to that Old Testament church as they were awaiting for the types and the fulfillments, the shadows to be fulfilled. And thus, first, the sacrifice, typical of the sacrifice of the Lamb, who would suffer, who would die. But now the Holy of Holies, of what is it a picture? It is a picture of the third heavens. And then it was necessary not only those sacrifices should be killed, but it was also necessary that that blood would be brought into that Holy of Holies. Thus it was not only necessary that the Lord Jesus should rise from the dead, but it was also necessary that the Lord Jesus would ascend into heaven. And the explanation of this our fathers give unto us in Lord's Day 18, in questions 46 through 49, Lord's Day 18, questions 46 through 49. How dost thou understand these words? He ascended into heaven. Answer, and that Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Question 47. Is not Christ then with us, even unto the end of the world, as he hath promised? Answer, Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth, but with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. Question 48. But if his human nature is not present wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? Answer, not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. Question 49, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? Answer, first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. Thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not the things on the earth. So far our Lord's Day, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, the nature of his ascension, and second, the advantage of his ascension. The ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, first, the nature, second, the advantage. David, by way of prophecy, has already in the Old Testament sung of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast ascended on high, and thou hast led captivity captive, and thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And so we read also of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, speaking as we have read together unto his own disciples. And then he says, ye have heard how that I have said, I go away from you and I come again. If he loved me, he says, ye would rejoice, because, he says, I go to my Father, and my Father is greater than I. Thus, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a very significant part of that salvation that has been decreed and that has been worked out by the triune God. And not only so, but our fathers show how that ascension, that is also a very great part of the comfort that the Lord is giving to his church here below. It is therefore very important that the errors which are coming against the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are rejected, because there are those that in an outright way deny this ascension. There are others that do cast that ascension to the side, to explain that ascension, as it were, away. But the Bible, that is very clear, declaring, as our fathers say, that Christ, in the sight of his disciples, was taken up from the earth. Is there proof of that? Well, when we come into the court and we look for proof, then often we are calling forth witnesses. And we can read in God's word that by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And so it was now also with the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can read that there were witnesses. That was not so of Enoch, when we read that the Lord took him, and we read with Elijah that there was a single witness. But with the Lord Jesus, it was different. Then we can read that there were many witnesses of this great event, that it was the disciples themselves that have looked steadfastly upon the Lord Jesus, we read, as he went up. It is possible, some think, that also that company of saints which did arise upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and that they were witnesses also of his ascension. We know that there were angels and that have received him not only, but those who came to stand with the disciples and to speak unto them at the time of his ascension. Who was that, children, who did see the Lord Jesus in heaven, who did see him standing on the right hand of God, ready to receive him himself, that was Stephen, when he was stoned. Therefore, we have another witness. And then we can read of a Saul of Tarsus. He says how that the Lord did appear unto him in the way. The Lutherans deny the local transition of the Lord Jesus Christ. They say that it was not an actual ascension from one place from the earth into heaven. But they say that only the condition of the Lord Jesus changed. That the human nature of Christ that has passed into a full enjoyment of his divine nature. But we can read it different. The Lord Jesus, he is so very clear when he says to his disciples that I leave the world and I go unto the Father. Thus, he left this earth. And the Bible is clear in the history when we can read that he was standing with his disciples upon the Mount of Olives, the place from which the Lord Jesus has actually and visibly ascended. So we can read that he has ascended physically into heaven, that is the third heaven, that he has ascended past the first heaven of the atmosphere, that he has ascended past the second heavens of the planets and of the stars, that he has ascended into the third heavens, the place where a man cannot enter into, that he cannot see. The place where the glory and the honor of God does dwell. Thus we have, though man cannot understand it rightly, thus we have the very clear, simple meaning of the Holy Scriptures. We read that this was the work of both the Father and of the Son himself. The Son, he is said to go away. He is said to depart to the Father. He is said to pass into the heavens. Thus, we read it as the work of the Son himself, to go away. He had the ability to do it, being the Son of God. But not only so, he had the right to do it. He had the right to ascend and enter again into the presence of his Father. Then he could claim for himself his own merit. He could claim for himself the perfection of the keeping of the law. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Then, though the sin of man had been laid upon him, then it was by his perfect obedience and by his perfect sinlessness and holiness and that he was able to enter again into the blessed presence of his own Father. But not only do we read that Christ went away, but we read that it is the work of his Father, because we read also that he was taken up. What does Luke write? He says he was carried up into heaven, thus the work of his Father. And he had the ability to do it as God. But he had not only the ability to do it, but he also had the obligation to do it. The obligation. Why? Because justice had been satisfied. And when obedience, when disobedience is the transgression of the law, then obedience, that is the fulfillment of the law. And when justice must condemn the transgression, then justice must also reward the fulfillment. And so we read of the Father carrying him up into heaven, taking him up into heaven. It is the obligation of the judge, but not only. The ability and the obligation, but also the desire. Why? What did he say? This is my beloved Son. And now what do our fathers say further? They say that he continues there for our interest. For whose interest? That is for the interest of the true church. Congregation, we may ask ourselves in this moment, when he has ascended into heaven, is he now continuing there for our interest in a personal way? What a great matter. What a great matter for the church. And when the eye of faith may be given to behold, when it may be given to believe this. And why is that such a great matter? Well, what is the greatest interest of that church? The greatest interest that is reconciliation with God, that is born in the moment of that new birth, that is flowing out of that regeneration, that is flowing out of that love to him, all that desire that I may be reconciled with my Maker, that I may be reconciled with my Creator. Oh, how does this stand in our life? And now, last time we spoke about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, about the justification of Christ, which was also the justification of his church in him, because it was the sin that was laid upon him, which he has taken away. And thus, in his justification, also that church is justified. But now there is not only a justification, but there is more. There is also a reuniting. There is a bringing back. And these are now two things. although they are so intimately connected and can never be separated from one another. But it is in the ascension of Christ that he is bringing back that people again into the presence of his Father. Thus we find the fulfillment of the greatest desire, the greatest longing of that church. Thus we find the fulfillment of that desire that was placed in their heart in that moment of regeneration. The Spirit of the Lord that works a missing people. That is the beginning. Or was there ever a beginning in your life? A missing people. And that people, they are not ultimately satisfied. They cannot be until they become a possessing people. It is not true, young people, that they are satisfied with their poverty. It is not true, though it is leveled against them over and over, it is not true that they are satisfied with their darkness. It is not true that they are content in their misery. What is true? The truth is this: they are not able to deliver themselves from it. They need someone else to deliver them from it. And this is now the people that are going to magnify and glorify the grace of God to all eternity. The ascension is therefore of such great significance. Why? Because it is in the ascension that that church is brought back unto the heart of the Father. And is not this the purpose? Is not this the very end for which the Lord Jesus has left his place of glory? That he has humbled himself, that he may go to bring the people again from all their wretchedness into the blessed communion of his Father again. All the ascension, that is the crowning of the person of Christ, but it is also the crown upon the work of Christ here below. There are a few of God's children that may experience what this means, even in this life, to be brought back again into the heart of the Father. It is, congregation, a further leading of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. What does it follow upon? It follows upon justification. First the resurrection, then the ascension. Thus it is first justification, then it is the bringing back, the reconciliation unto God. Reconciliation that needs a foundation, a foundation. And that is found in the justification of the people before their great judge. And faith that must be led into this, that it may perceive and that it may embrace the fruits of of justification, all that that contains, and everything that is flowing out of that justification, then the Spirit of the Lord, He needs to lead that people into those great benefits. How does He do this? He does it step by step. Peter, he says, Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. And then why? He says that He may bring us to God. Oh, there is really so much in it. Thus, it is by the Spirit of the Lord that a man has to be convinced that he is unjust. That is the first step. That he is unjust. Oh, has the Spirit of the Lord ever taken in your life now that first step? Unjust. And then it is that the Spirit of the Lord, that He leads a person to see that other part, what Peter says, Christ has once suffered for sins. But for the people, then it is that now also for my own sin? Is that your question too? How is it that the Spirit of the Lord convinces and shows a man? Well, that is not so difficult for us to understand. When the Spirit of the Lord does show a man, does convince a man. I mean, not by the convincing of man, but by convincing of the Spirit. To convince a man unjust. And when the Spirit of the Lord will open His own word, the just for the unjust. Then congregation, then a man has to receive it for his own soul. And therefore, we say it is so necessary that that first step is taken. That a man is instructed in his misery. Because, young people, there is so much grace. Do you know what we read in the Bible? His grace that is wide as the ocean. That is true. But for whom is it? Or what do we read? He sits and He eats with publicans and sinners. And when we have never become so, then we will never see it. Never. Because the Lord does not waste His grace. But now to become unjust, and now for the Spirit of the Lord to open this. Not the word of man. Word of the Lord. The just for the unjust. And then there is more, because David says, the meek, they shall eat and they shall be satisfied. And the Lord, He will fill them. And to whom He hath shall be given. Thus there is more. You believe that, young people? There is for that people everything. Everything.
then there is for the world nothing. Oh, the just for the unjust. What a wonder if the Lord would show this to us. But now there is more. Because what does he say? He says, why? Christ once suffered for sins. For whom? Oh, the just for the unjust. And why that? He says, he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. That is the final fruit. Here we have the answer. Here we have the fulfillment of the greatest longing that is living in the heart of that church. And now when faith may be given to embrace this, oh, then you can understand that that just one, when he has fully paid that price, and when he is able to stand before his Father, and the law is not able to condemn, and when the Lord, he has brought the people to stand in him before his Father, all then, everything that is in him, that is also for the people. And when he may now ascend and he may return into that blessed presence and communion of his Father, oh, then it is for this purpose that he might bring us unto God. Oh, what a peace. What a peace. When faith may be given to believe, and when faith may be given to embrace this truth, a peace that is greater than all peace that can be found in this world, or peace on earth already experienced in the soul because of that Christ child. All that is not the only place. We said, what was the song of David? Do you remember, children? What was the song of David? Oh, he has ascended on high. He has led captivity captive. He has received gifts for men. For whom? Yea, for the rebellious also. Why? That he might bring us unto God. Yes, he says what? That the Lord God might dwell among them. Oh, then we see the same. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, the Old Testament, and in the New Testament. That he might bring us to God. That the Lord God might dwell among them. Then that is not all. It is not that all. God's children do experience this leading back into the heart of God. And yet, there is not one of them that in the end is going to miss it. The Lord Jesus, he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, how often do we see today that faith is led into these mysteries and into these blessings? Not so often. And yet our fathers maintain, he continues there, for our interest until he comes to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, that is why the Lord Jesus said, why are you fearful, all ye of little faith? Oh, it is no wonder that Satan works to undermine the doctrine, the blessed doctrine of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the comfort. It is the blessed comfort of the church of God. And then there are objections. Is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world as he has promised? Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. That is closely connected to the next one. But if his human nature is not present, wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? Not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed and is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. Is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world as he hath promised? Where is the promise? You know that, boys and girls, where is the promise that he has promised? That was the promise of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. Lo, he says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is his word. And that is why the Lutherans, they say that his human nature became omnipresent at his ascension. Because he has ascended, and yet he remains with his church even unto the end of the world. That means his human nature now must be everywhere. And from this comes the doctrine of consubstantiation, also the doctrine of transubstantiation, but we read nothing of such an omnipresence of the human nature of the Lord Jesus in the Bible. But does he not say that? I am with you always. Yes. But he says more. He says also, I leave the world and go to the Father. He says also, I go away. He says also, you have the poor with you, and me ye have not always. Thus, in one sense, he goes away, and in another sense, he remains. He has a human nature, and he has a divine nature. Congregation David, he says, my flesh crieth out for the living God. There is a living God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? There is a living God. And not only so, but the Apostle Paul, he says, he is not far from any one of us. And therefore, he says that we ought to seek the Lord, if haply we might feel after him and find him. And when we may find him, what do we read in our catechism? He is with his respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, at no time absent from his people, young people. Maybe you think you would like to have lived in the days the Lord Jesus lived on the earth, then you could go to him. Do you think you would? Do you think you would go to him? Or do you think that the lowly state in which he came would also be a stumbling block to you? Maybe we would say with the Pharisees, whom makest thou thyself, that thou sayest thou art the Son of God? Maybe we would have mocked also, come down from the cross, and we will believe thee. know the Lord Jesus, he is no further away today than he was at that time. If anything, he may be considered to be closer. In the sense that he is in the state of his exaltation, and that all power is given unto him. And now when that power may be experienced in your heart, do you know what you will feel? Then you will feel how close that the Lord is. Read that in the Word of God. The bride, she says, I found him. I found him whom my soul loveth. She says what? She says, I held him. And I would not let him go. I held him. Was he not so close? So close? No, not physically, but spiritually for her soul. That is the experience. That is the truth. Let us sing. 235, 2 and 3. Comfort thy servant now, while at thy throne I bow. For thou art love. Thy pardoning grace is free. Sinners who call on thee, thy tender mercy see, O God above. 2 and 3 of 235. Secondly, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Congregation, what an advantage. What an advantage that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Is that also now your advantage? Is he also my advocate? Because it is not for the whole world, and yet it is a matter of life and death. eternal life and eternal death. Well and woe. Is it therefore our question? Is he my advocate? You say, how should I know this? Whether he is my advocate. There are steps in this. That the Lord is instructing a person step by step, point by point. What do you think comes first, children? We said the Lord does not waste his grace. Well, then the Lord, he will show to us our need for an advocate. For an advocate. Who needs an advocate? One who has to stand before his judge. Thus, it is necessary that the Lord shows to us that we have to stand before our judge. The first step, what is it? I have to die. And I cannot die. Do that people then need an advocate? No. Not yet. And why not? Because there are many unrighteousnesses that still have to be fixed up in my life. But my righteousnesses are what are standing in my way. And it is my righteousnesses that are not yet made to be as filthy rags. Paul was conscious of many sins because he has ordered his life. That was a man that could say that I have stood in good conscience before God until this day. You know what that means, young people? Or he could say more than we. And when his conscience spoke, then he did. Then he did. But his religion, that still needed to be stripped away. It was the Phariseeism. And that's why he said, then the law came. And when that law came, sin revived. And I died. Then his mouth was stopped, and then he became guilty before God. No, then he could not stand before God anymore, not with all his religion. And then, congregation, we need an advocate. Then we need one to plead the cause for us. And now, as it is necessary for the Spirit of the Lord to show us our need for that advocate, so it is necessary for that same Spirit of the Lord to reveal that advocate, that great high priest who has entered into that holy of holies before that mercy seat of his Father. There to present unto him his own blood. All to reveal it as the foundation. The only way that it is possible that I can be forgiven. Oh, what a preciousness then that we see in him. Who is pleading there for those who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, what a suitability. For such as they have made themselves to be. And then he, to open his mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed unto destruction. That is first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Oh, how long could we stop congregation at this place? But our fathers, they go on. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he as the head will also take up to himself us, his members. That is now what follows. When that faith may be led from step to step. Last time, we heard of another pledge. It was in the resurrection of Christ. And that was a pledge of the blessed resurrection of God's people. The resurrection. Now another pledge. Oh, how good is the Lord to his people. Another pledge to take his people unto himself in heaven. What does he say? Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Or our flesh in heaven. And then as a sure pledge. And why? To take away all the doubts, all the fears of his people. A pledge, a guarantee to show it in earnest. Do they need that? Yes, they need that. Oh, how often do they not need this? And why? Because there is so much that is coming against the work of God. What did Satan say, children, to Saul, King Saul? He sought him in the end of his life. And he brought up Samuel. It was the devil. And what did the devil say? He said, tomorrow, thou and thy sons, they're going to be with me. Do you know how often the devil is coming with this in the life of God's people? And why? With everything that has taken place in their life, which they are not able to deny. Sin, sin, sin. And then they cannot see it again. And Satan, he says, soon, you will be with me where I am. Oh, how good is the Lord to give a pledge not only of their blessed resurrection, but also here as we read, a pledge their own flesh in heaven. Do you know what Peter says? They that believe in him, they that believe in him shall never be confounded. Never. And they cannot always believe in him. But that is not only in the exercise of faith, but it is also in the reflection of the exercise of faith. What did the Apostle Paul say? He says, I know in whom I have believed. And there is a people, even when that faith that is so very, very small, and even when that faith is so little in exercise, for whom the reflections of faith are such a great comfort. And then that holy word of God, he that believeth in him shall never be confounded. And then to be able to say, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. But we have to finish. Thirdly, he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power that we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not the things on the earth. O congregation, our fathers, they were given by the Lord to be so honest. Look for a moment how low that the Lord brings his people. There is nothing for that people to boast of in themselves. Not here upon the earth, the Lord will take it all away. And in heaven, oh, there shall be nothing, nothing of themselves. What do they say? By whose power? They said, by the power of his Spirit. By whose power? Oh, not their own power. By whose power they what? That they seek the things that are above. That is for the first time in their life. And that is also by renewal. Ask God's people. You ever do that, young people? Ask them. There are people. They say, the NRC. Oh, then they do not preach man's responsibility. God forbid. Because then we would not preach the truth. But congregation, we hope that the Lord may ever, till our dying day, keep us from preaching the responsibility of man in the way of deceit, as if there is anything left in man of a spiritual power, as if he is not dead. Our fathers are honest. They say there is one power by which a man seeks the things that are above. That is not here, but that is his Spirit and his Spirit alone. That heathen jailer in Philippi, he began to seek the things that are above. We do not say that it does not remain the responsibility of man. We go lost for our own fault, but that heathen jailer, he began to seek the things that are above. When? Not one moment before the power of the Holy Spirit was experienced in his life. And that was not only with the heathen jailer, that was also with the Apostle Paul. With all his religion. So that man, he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And this man, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, did he not seek before? All his seeking before That was man's work. Man's work. And what does Gamaliel say? He says, if this thing be of man, it will come to naught. Come to nothing. But if this is the work of God, you cannot overthrow it. By whose power we seek the things which are above. And now ask the children of the Lord, if it is not true that it is by the same power that they are brought to seek the things which are above by renewal. By renewal. Because that wretched man is so carnal. He is so worldly. He is so vain. Samson lying on the lap of Delilah. Solomon turning away unto the idol gods of his wives. But it is now by the power of that Spirit, by renewal, that the people, they are again brought by the Lord to seek those things that are above. That is why we see Israel. They are lying there for their idolatry. They're lying in the land of Babylon. In the land of Babylon. Neither can they deliver themselves out of that land. The key to the prison that is always on the other side of the door. But then comes the word of the Lord to Cyrus. And then they are delivered. And so Paul says, and so all Israel shall be saved. And so it is. And so it remains. To the very end, a blessed, one-sided work of a triune God. All from heaven. Where Christ, he is sitting at that right hand of God. He is the living God. He is the living God. Do you believe that? Go on your knees. Go on your knees. Oh, and beseech him that he will begin. Because when this is of God, congregation, no man will be able to overthrow it. And that is the people that will magnify and glorify him who is sitting on the right hand of power forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, forgive our many, many sins and draw our hearts. Oh, we can read it. It is the experience also of our fathers. Thy power, Lord. Oh, we have our own responsibility, but we need to be converted. Lord, convert us then. It is to thy honor and to thy glory when thou wilt take us all together by heart and by hand, and when thou wouldst not leave one behind, we and our children, and we are so undeserving of it. But Lord, we are dwelling upon thy footstool, and all the power is given unto thee in heaven and in earth. Wilt thou then look upon us in and through thy only begotten Son to have mercy amidst well-deserved wrath? Look on us again as we depart from one another. Bring us safely to our places. Remember us in the week to come. And also when we will gather in Calgary in this week, and thou knowest our purpose. Lord, provide for us and make it well as thou alone art able. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 183:1-4. O Lord, thou hast ascended.
on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest a captive in thy train. And what follows? 1, 2, and 4 of 183. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.